Hey, this is a dirty white boy. I want everybody to listen up. I'm live and in color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Jimmy, today, I know you can probably hear the AC unit running because I'm sitting on my back porch under my gazebo just chilling. It's kind of nice out, and you might hear a loud truck go by occasionally. That just happens around here. I'm also watching my side yard, Jimmy, because something's really pissing me off, man. It's like almost every day. This is not a main road, but it's, you know, people travel this road. And they decide that I guess my yard is a convenient place to throw their fucking trash. And it really pisses me off.
Yeah.
So, man. I'm actually thinking about getting a Wile E. Coyote sign and just standing there with it, like, it's not your fucking trash can or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
Or get a video camera and start taping motherfuckers and getting their license plates.
Yeah.
So, if you're a listener and you throw your shit in people's yard, you're an asshole.
Yeah, don't do that, guys, because, you know, that's not cool, dude.
I got to pick that shit up.
Yeah, man, I get hot. You know, I call my road the Mooresville Raceway. And honestly, dude, because it's posted at 25, but man, I swear there's people going 50 through this road. And I get hot if I see a cigarette butt in my front yard, man. I can't stand it, bro. So you're exactly right. Guys, if y'all are litterers, don't do it, man. Seriously. Yeah. Just put it in your car and save it for home or go to a gas station.
Next.
Yeah, go to a gas station. I've done it many times where I've just rolled through a gas station, got out the car real quick, threw it in the trash can, and came on down the road. You know, that's how it should be, man. And I don't know.
The lawnmower guy, it's not his job to pick it up, so he just rolls over it. So then I'm left out there picking up shredded trash. So
yeah, like plastic shreds and cig shreds are like the little cotton puffs, you know. It's just nasty. Yeah. It's not cool.
Man, it's just plain dirty.
It is. Totally dirty.
You like the way I just threw that up on a tee for you?
I loved it. Like, as in the dirty white boy?
Yes, sir, man. We got Tony Anthony today. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, man, dude. I'm so stoked about this. You don't understand. This guy was the villain of my childhood. And I'm not talking like on TV because you had Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, whatever. But in my childhood, the most amount of wrestling I saw live, this guy was probably the lead bad guy at it. Anytime I went, he was there, dude. So I'm actually kind of got a little bit of butterflies on this one, brother. Yeah. I'm that stoked, man. I'm so happy you know all these guys.
Man, well, I try to bring on people that I know are cool and, you know, that I might have had a good time with. And, you know, Tony's definitely one of those guys, man, that is a pleasure to be in the ring with and a pleasure to be around. And it's been quite a while since I've talked to him. So I'm amped. I'm ready to go. I think we should take a break at this point and get back and talk to the dirty white boy, Tony Anthony.
After these messages.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
right, guys, we are back. And once again, as promised, as advertised, card not subject to change today. We got one of my favorite people in the whole world, man, and one of the greatest wrestlers that I've ever been in the ring with. Tony Anthony, the Dirty White Boy, what is going on?
Oh, not much. How you doing today, Wolfie?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. I'm glad to have you on the phone. It's good to talk to you, man. It's been many, many years.
Been forever.
Me and you and Dr. John Riches, we rode somewhere together about 10 years ago. I think that was the last time we saw each other.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we was headed up around Johnson City or something like that, in that area up there.
Yeah, yeah. What about old Dr. Tom? You seen him lately?
Well, no. Actually, we live in the same town.
Right.
And I hardly ever talk to him, hardly ever see him. But I got, buddies that live from across the country. I talk to them about once a week. Now, you go figure. I don't know. Something wrong with that picture. That's it.
Man, Tony, let's talk about, man, because I don't know some of the answers to this. And I wish, man, I don't know if you ever feel like this, but, you know, when we're in the midst of our own shit and wrestling and doing our own stuff, you don't really, unless you're with somebody all the time riding with them, you don't know everything about them. And you're one of those people that I really wish I would have gotten to travel with you more so we would have got to know each other better, other than just in the ring. You know, me and Jamie wrestled you and Tracy quite a few times and all that stuff, but I wish I would have got to ride with you, man. What got you into wrestling, man? What made you want to be a wrestler?
I'd always wanted to be. I grew up watching wrestling here in East Tennessee. Ron Wright, Ron and Don Wright, Whitey Caldwell, Les Thatcher, Don and Al Green, Fabulous Kangaroos, all the Fullers, all these. I grew up watching these guys, and I always wanted to be a professional wrestler. And it was just something that, intrigued me. I'd watch it. I had my heroes and our villains and all that. And it was just something that I felt that deep down inside I wanted to do, and I always thought I could do it.
Yeah. Well, it turns out you're pretty good at it.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad somebody thinks so.
So how old were you and who broke you in?
I was 18, fixing to go on 19 when I broke in. And Rick Connors, he's a local Knoxville guy. And, of course, he'd been all over the place.
Yeah.
That big old ugly head's done wore out three bodies. he's one of the toughest men I know really in the world. Oh, good Lord, that man is just rugged.
And, yeah.
When he broke me in, he tried to break me.
Yeah.
I mean, he really did. It was old school. You laid everything in. You got a forearm across the back. He fire come at your butt about a foot. he was just a double tough, rugged guy, knew how to wrestle, chain wrestle, and all that. He used to go up to Carson Newman College, and he would wrestle with the wrestling team. He'd work out with them, and, he knew how to hook the whole nine yards, and he was a man that started me into it, and he's what started, I've got somewhat of a cauliflowered ear. Uh-huh. And what started that was him. He hooked me one day and he said, "You want to be a wrestler?" And I'm sitting here grunting and trying to get air and everything. Yeah, yeah. He said, "Well, you've got to be tough." And he reared back with his fist. And I mean, bam, right in the ear. And I was like, "Ugh!" But there was nothing I could do about it. He had me hooked and tied up and everything. I couldn't move. So, and he didn't hit me once or twice. I mean, he did it about five or six times, right in the ear. And you're talking about something sore to the touch. I owe him the start of it. But that's the way those old timers were. I mean, they didn't care. They respected the business.
Right.
And if you wanted to be a professional wrestler, you had to personally respect the business, respect your fellow wrestlers, or you would get the crap beat out of you.
Yeah.
You know, you wish, I didn't say one of those bad words. I said crap.
We love to use bad words on here. So. I do anyway. The only time I made it through a whole episode without cussing was when I had George South on.
Yeah, I love George. He's great.
Yeah, he is.
Great. I too. And I told him, I said, just for you, man, I made it over an hour without cussing. He liked that. So you get in and you obviously the grapplers probably wasn't your first gimmick, but you and Lynn didn't wear the grapplers. And man, I didn't even know that until like when I got in the business, because, you know, magazines and stuff, you as a kid, that's, you know, before cable and all that. I had magazines, man, and I used to love masked gimmicks. And the grapplers were, you know, something that I saw. They didn't really come to Memphis that much. So, you guys, I liked the grapplers. I didn't even know it was you.
Yeah, I was wrestling. Actually, I was wrestling around.
That would have been Portland territory, correct?
Mid-South.
No. When me and Lenny got together, it was in Bill Watts' territory.
Mid-South. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mid-South with Bill Watts. Matter of fact, Ric Flair and Blackjack Mulligan had bought Knoxville, was wrestling there. Jack Mulligan, he got me a trip set up to South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. And, I need to hear this.
Let me rephrase that a little bit. I was working for them. They were going to shut the territory down here in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. They did that. Blackjack got me booked in Charlotte for the Crockett.
Okay.
They got me booked there. And then I was wrestling there, and Ole Anderson was the booker. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Ole, that's one of the grouchiest, grumpiest old parts he ever laid the eyes on. I mean, but for some reason, he took a liking to me and a shine to me. I'd play cards with him, and if I got a chance to beat him, I'd beat him. These other guys was afraid to beat him because they afraid they'd get fired or something. Yeah. And being a greenhorn, I didn't have any more sense than to beat his ass. So, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was wrestling there. Well, Blackjack come up to me, and he said, I was supposed to go to South Africa. I had a tour set up over there, and I can't go. Mm-hmm. Would you want to go? And I said, yeah, great. You know, so he got me set up to go to South Africa.
Gotcha.
So I went over there, and I went as a matter of fact, I had a black and red and white pair of checkerboard boots that Flair gave me. Uh-huh. And I wore them, and I went as Jack Darrell.
Jack Darrell.
Jack Darrell. and went over there, and it was just totally different from what I was used to over here. You know, you get the backdrop is a spot. Uh-huh. Over there, a backdrop was a finish.
Wow.
You hit a guy with a backdrop, you know, you topped him for the three count, and that was it.
Yeah.
And so I went over, and I stayed, I think it was about 2 months, and they was wanting me to stay longer, but I'd done committed to come back to Charlotte because I told Ole I would be back. And, you know, that's something that I've always done, and Blackjack and Flair and them instilled that in me. You give your word.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do what you say you're going to do, regardless whether you like it or not. Work it out down the road, but if you say you're going to be someplace.
Right.
And so I told them, and they were wanting me to stay. They was going to give me X amount of dollars more to stay, and I said, I can't. I done gave my word. So I come back to the United States. Well, I flew back in the States, and me and Tim Horner had an apartment in Charlotte, because Tim, he went with me when I left Knoxville. Tim come with me up to Charlotte. Well, I get there and everything. I said, all right, I'm ready to go back to work. And Tim said, you ain't got a job. I said, what are you talking about? I ain't got a job. I said, I got a job. Ole told me. As soon as I come to the office, boom, 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 he'll put me immediately back on, on the card, and I'm working. I got a job. And he said, but Ole ain't the booker no more. He got fired.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh man, no. Yeah, I can't believe this. So I go down there like a whoop pup to Crockett's, office, and I go in there just looking around. I was hoping to see Ole, and I believe it was Sandy Scott told me, said, "Hey, kid, so if you're looking for Ole, said he's on the bus someplace. He's out of here." And I said, "Well, what about me? I was supposed to come back. I left early over there." And he said, "Well, you're going to have to talk to the new booker." And I couldn't even get in to see him. And I was fired.
Dusty?
I believe that was about the time Dusty was moving in. And if you wasn't in that clique, then.
Yeah. George even told us that Adrian Adonis got turned away, and he was just on WrestleMania the year before. So,
yeah.
I believe that sounds exactly right, that timeline at least.
Yeah, if he was kind of a threat to Dusty, if he thought, now I'm not saying that I was ever a threat.
Right.
Things. I mean, you know, Dusty's one of the greatest of all times. You know, he had the gift for gab. He was a showman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you wasn't in that clique, you weren't getting very far.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and it's like, well, boom, this is over with. Well, just happened to see Jake, Snake Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Jake, we just hit it off from day one. Me and him were buddies, got along and all this kind of stuff. And he said, "Hey, man, I heard about you, you know, getting fired and all that kind of stuff." He said, "Come to my apartment. Give me a time." And let's talk. And I said, "Okay." So I went to his apartment, went in there. He said, "Hang on, let me make a phone call for you." And he said, "Let me call my dad, Grizzly Smith."
Yeah.
Grizzly was working for Watts. He was in the office working for Watts, Bill Watts. He got in there and he talked to his dad and all this kind of stuff. And right there within, I guess it was 30 minutes, I had a job to head out Mid-South, and Tim Horner got a job going to Mid-South, so me and Tim hooked up, and boom, we went to Mid-South, and we was living in, what is that town?
Baton Rouge?
Baton Rouge, yeah, that's it. Hell, I'm getting old, and I've been so many towns, they all run together.
Yeah,
Anyway, I got there and got started. And we showed up to the TV, was doing that, and Jake heard Bill Watts say, "That looks like a young Harley Race," talking about me. And I said, "Well, hell, I take that as a compliment, you know."
Absolutely.
One of the greatest of all times. And I said, "Yeah, maybe, you know, right there's a tag team, Harley and his son." You know, I'll take it anything, you know, get in. And so we had matches, and they put me and Tim out there. I was a heel, and he was a baby. And they put us on TV for, I think, a 10-minute time limit, and we went to draw. And we did everything we possibly knew to do, and watched, seen it, liked it.
Yeah.
And then that kept going and going. We kept going back to TV and all this kind of stuff. And then next thing I know, I'd met Lenny.
Uh-huh.
Lenny was there. Lenny's walking around, had all the hardware there, was hanging off of him. He had tag belts, a heavyweight belt. I mean, he had everything.
Right.
And then he started dropping them to different people, DiBiase and all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lenny come up to me and he said, "You ever wore a mask?" And I said, "No, I've seen them, but I ain't ever wore one." And he said, I said, "Come on in here." And went in, had a meeting with Bill Watts. And he wanted me to come out as a grappler, too. And Lenny told him at the beginning, he said, "If you're going to put a mask on him, send him out there, beat his ass up, jerk the mask off, and kick him in the butt." He said, "No, I'm not going to do that." So that's just, that'd be knocking the grappler gimmick.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, No. He said, "I'm tagging you guys up. Y'all going to be one of my tag teams."
Mm-hmm.
And got on there, and then Lenny helped me out tremendously. He has got a mind for wrestling that, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Really? And, I never got to meet him.
No, he's a great guy. He's full of, you know what? He's full of a good guy. I'm telling you. And he, he's a good guy. I love him to death. He's my brother.
Yeah.
We talk every week. We talk at least once a week.
Huh.
And he was living in Texas. Now he moved to Bolivar, Tennessee.
Hmm.
So he's living there now. Now, next week, he's going to be back in Texas. You never know.
Bolivar, Tennessee. I tell you, it was one day after Memphis TV, before Nashville. We stopped in Bolivar, had a show or something like that. That maybe it wasn't Nashville.
Yeah,
they got the biggest baked potatoes I ever ate in my life with chicken on it and shit. That was Bolivar. I'll never forget that.
And yet you never gained no weight.
Yeah.
I got it all.
Oh man.
So Lynn, yeah, but it helped you out tremendously, huh?
Oh, if it hadn't been for him, I would have probably never got as far as I got in wrestling. But really? See, I was the type of person that I'd listen to these older guys. Yeah. I'd go in and I'd seen other younger guys. They tried to make buddies with them real quick. Boy, and they sat there and they was telling their big stories and all that. And you can see the old timers looking at him like, this damn asshole. You know, he don't know what's going on.
Right.
I'd keep my mouth shut and listen.
Right.
And then I'd catch one of them alone after my match and ask them, did you happen to see my match? And I've even gone as far as to ask them if they would watch my match and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I asked Flair that, and then I looked back. He said, yeah, kid, I'll do it. And I sent him back there. He was watching one of my matches,
mm-hmm.
and Blackjack was out there with him watching.
Mm-hmm.
Come back, I got schooled by both of them at two separate times.
Mm.
Flair took me in. I said, you see it? And he said, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And when I left him, started walking off, Blackjack, he seen me and said, hey, come here, sit down, grab you a chair and sit down. I sat down, he schooled me. And I kept my mouth shut and I just listened to these guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I would watch the matches, listen to people, ask questions. Mm-hmm. And then, I've seen some people ask questions. And then while they're, the guys that know what's going on were trying to tell you something, they'd be trying to interrupt them.
Mm.
It's like, you dumbass, you don't do that. Keep your mouth shut and your ears open. And nowadays, I've seen around some of these spot shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, everybody on the card, I don't care how old they are or anything like that, they know everything.
Absolutely, 100%.
They ain't no help, and they ain't got a clue about nothing.
No.
It's a wonder how they can even find a bathroom.
So let me ask you this, man. Then you were also partners with somebody, Tom Burton. Now, when I broke into the business in like 89, 90, 16 years old, I was around Tom quite a bit, worked him a few times and stuff. Tell me about Tom Burton, man. I like Tom. I hung out with him and Candy sometimes, but Tom was a dick, man. He really was.
Tom Burton. Now, Candy, she was a sweetheart, always was to me. She was just a sweetheart.
But,
Burton, he was one of them guys that I know how to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to tell me, does it?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've got to learn to do that. And they stuck him with me.
Yeah.
Why? You know, the Jarretts and Lawler must have been pissed at me. I must have done something they didn't like or something. And they said, here, you get Tom Burton. Thank you. All righty. Just send me to Brushy Mountain. Send me to prison, please. You can get along. He got me pulled over.
Was there?
He got me actually pulled over. We'd won the belts, and we were coming back home. And, you know, some guys, you know, they had certain stuff in the vehicle, you know, liquid refreshments. And I was driving, going back. Well, he's sitting in the back seat, the state trooper sitting in the middle of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up over and blows a horn as we're passing that state trooper. Now you went, well, state trooper, okay, smart ass. Woo, woo. It's like, you sit back there, and if you move, I said, I'm going to kill you. pulled over and I said, oh, you think you're funny? You see it's out. I said, no, sir. I said, is this idiot in the back seat? He said, I seen somebody raising up coming over the front. I said, it was him. I said, we just won the tag team titles. And excited, and he's young. He don't know. I apologize. I'm sorry. Meant nothing towards you guys. And he said, oh, so you're a wrestler. Oh, yeah, I watch that wrestling. And this was when we were in Alabama.
Oh,
that was Alabama. Okay. Yeah, gotcha. I jumped ahead a little bit. This was in Alabama. And the way I got out of the ticket was I promised four seats for them in the front row at Boutwell Auditorium. And I said, okay, we'll be in. I went out, and my music kicked in, and I went out, bam, and there they sat. And I'm like, oh, thank God. But, Guitar, he was just a handful. He tried to let on, like, you know, he had a good physique on him. He lifted weights and all this. But, I mean, he wasn't all that big.
Right.
You know. He thought he was Andre or something.
Right.
Sometimes the way he'd try to work and everything, didn't want to take bumps. And I was like, hey, here I am bumping all over the place. And he's standing there rocking. And sometimes he wouldn't even do that. And it's like, no, you can't. And two of the baby faces was holding him one time. And they had a girl come in and smack him. And he tried to hook her leg and make her fall and all that. Wouldn't sell that. You don't do that in Memphis. God, you got to learn the territory. This is howdy doody time here in Memphis, baby. We got guys coming out monster masked. You know? And he was just real, real hard. And they jumped on to him. Lawler jumped on him one night and got on him pretty heavy. And Jerry really wasn't, you know, that voiceful as far as.
Yeah.
Getting real mad at you all the time.
Right.
Blah, 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 barking at you or anything. Well, this time, I forget now exactly what he done it. He jumped on it and all that. And he come back. And honest, the old boy had tears coming down his face. And he I can't believe you. I said, you can't believe me? I said, what did I do? He said, you didn't back me up. I said, buddy, I'll back you up to your belly, bloody. But I said, there ain't no way that I'm going to back anybody up if they're wrong.
Yeah.
And I said, you was dead wrong about whatever it was that happened.
Uh-huh.
And he went to crying, well, you were supposed to be partners. I said, we are partners. But I said, you were wrong, and I ain't backing you when you're wrong, buddy. I said, that's just it. I said, they call that stupidity.
Yeah.
And
I can really see kind of, I don't want to say that maybe y'all clashed or whatever, but y'all's personalities are a lot different. I can't really see a good chemistry with you two.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't the best, the best chemistry that I had when I was tag taping was with Lenny.
Yeah.
We had to do was look at one another. Yes. And we knew what to do next.
People ask me that, and that's like me and Jamie had that, and I've never Brian Lee and I had it a little bit, but not like me and Jamie had it, where the look is all you had to do.
That's it.
That's a pleasure, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And when I got up to the feds, you know, I was going around. You remember?
Yeah.
They come in there and they'd sit in there for 45 minutes to an hour. You sit and talk about a 10-minute match. Like, what the hell? What's wrong with you bunch of idiots? Just go in the ring and do it. I'll call the match, you know.
Yeah.
But oh no, they didn't. I don't know who called match now. Oh, they get my shit in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, got scared to death they weren't gonna get their stuff in. And people, well, we only got 10 minutes in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah.
10 minutes, that's quite a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, it just don't disappear like that. You've got to, you know, stretch that thing a little bit, or there you stand in the middle of the ring like goaded. And that's what a lot of them did, because they'd hurry to get their stuff in.
Yeah.
And then after they got their stuff in, it's like, oh, we still got 6 minutes left.
What we do now?
You know?
You jumped ahead there just a hair, but while we're
about days, weeks, years.
So I know Tracy, some other guy, he hated the whole Freddie Joe Floyd and all that. And then that was the time when you went up and did the TL Hopper. Did you take it as much of an insult as Tracy did?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But see, the difference between me and Tracy. Tracy had a tendency; he could be a hothead in about 1.0 seconds.
Yes,
he could just go off, and it's like, Tracy, calm down, baby. To which I knew why I was there. Yeah. I knew TL. Now, who in the world, with all the bookers in the whole wide world, that has been, that's here now, who's going to put the world title on a plumber?
Yeah.
You know, that just don't make a lick of sense.
Right.
You know, you're walking around with your turd puncher, and then, okay, here's your heavyweight champion of the world. You know, it's like, and then you hear a toilet flush. Boom. Yeah. That was my ring music. I don't know if you guys ever heard it or not.
No,
but when I come out, that was my ring music, a toilet flush.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, brother, that wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, you went from this like badass, dirty white boy. I mean, I'm telling you, like I said, I've always thought you were a heel, but you were a badass heel. And you go from this badass, and you even had a cool element to you, too. Yeah, it was like for local people like us that had seen you all our lives, it was just kind of heartbreaking, actually.
Yeah, for you and me both.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't sell the gimmick. I wouldn't sign over the white boy gimmick to Vince. I just wouldn't do it. And on top of that, I knew the way he was talking.
Yeah.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't going to happen. I was just there to help the younger guys get over, which I was hurting at the time anyway. I had, health issues as far as my back, knee, neck, all that kind of stuff. And I knew it wasn't going to be long.
Yeah.
Didn't have a long period of time as far as keeping it up.
So. Speaking of Tracy, I know, you know, we've all got great Tracy stories. If you hung out with him at all, there's a great show. Give me a good Tracy story, man.
Oh, yeah.
Tracy story. We were up in...
Let me ask you this real quick. It was him and Tom that jumped out of the car to fight. What were you there, or wasn't that a deal?
Yeah, and it started. That's a matter of fact story I was going to tell you. We started in the town, and you know how Pritchard is.
Yeah,
God knows that boy knows how to run his mouth and irritate people. And he's very good at it.
Yes.
And Tracy, being God rest his soul, psycho. Thank you, Tracy. You know, those two stay around each other for any length of time, there's going to be sparks start flying. Well, we're out there. We have a battle royal. We get in there. And next thing I know, I hit the ring. I'm starting to boom, boom, boom. And I look over, and here's Tracy and Tom. They're sitting there locked up, choking one another. And I'm looking, I said, now that ain't good, because that ain't work.
Yeah,
I said, we got a shoot going on. So I go over and I'm trying, I said, you can break it up, stop it. And Preacher said, get away from us, leave us alone. We got to do this. Fucking And Tracy, he looks at, he looks at me, book off. And I'm making a snow. And I just get in between them and just more or less break them up. And then I grab Richard and start taking him off. And they don't even take him off someplace. And he said, no, I'm going back. I said, no, you're out of here. So eliminate his butt and all this kind of stuff. And so we get in the car. We're leaving, all that kind of stuff. And you see him. Cars have to meet one another. What's the chance of that?
Yeah.
You know, you got this guy in this car, and then this guy in this car, and all of a sudden, they're right behind the other one.
I'm like,
Polish on pickles. Pull over. Here we go. Out on the side of the road again. Like, my God, boy, please. You know, you want to get a tire tool and just go out there and just beat them both half to death. You know, it's like, man, let this lie. Leave it alone.
What was they mad at each other about? Just working normal
road? And running their mouth. Tracy had a girl, and I don't know if she was causing problems.
Yeah.
Tom might have said something or something.
That probably went into the whole Tracy and Ricky thing, too, probably.
Well, no, it was Robert.
Oh.
Robert Gibson. It was Hoot that got into it with Tracy. And Tracy, he got mad at me, and we were tag team champions together.
Yeah.
And I'm going up there, and I spoke to him, and I was going to give him a thing. I said, hey, Tracy, how you doing, buddy? And he just kind of give me, you know, how Tracy give that look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang it. Okay. Got to spurn your ass. So I go on up there and everything. I go, I'll go on up there and speak to him again. I'm like, hey, Tracy, how you doing, buddy? And Sandy Scott was standing there. He said, you don't need to fucking talk to me. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Oh, brother, tag team champions, duo here. I said, what the hell? What's wrong with you? He said, you know, that girl with Hoot, man, you rode with Hoot. I said, yeah. I said, I'm living in Knoxville. He's living in Knoxville. Nobody else is. So we hooked up, got a car, and made the trip.
Yeah.
I said, that's it. Yeah, but that girl, I said, whoa, hold up right there, buddy. I ain't got nothing to do with that girl. I ain't got nothing to do with you and Hoot. If you all mad at one another, y'all. But I said, don't be mad at me. I just getting a ride here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tracy, brother, I'm sorry. I love you. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've been cussed out on the phone one night, and then the next day, oh, brother, I'm sorry.
Yeah, loving on you, you know, hugging you. You know I love you, brother.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's the reason now. I love you, too. That's the reason I got a knife in my hand right now. I will it's cut so your funny too because, off me, boy.
It is so funny because I hear, like, you know, a lot of these younger guys, man, oh, Tracy Smothers, he helped me so much, and Tracy's such a nice guy. That's what, and Tracy is a nice guy. Tracy, they didn't see that other side that we saw sometimes.
No, they never seen the demon come out.
Hell no. Punching the steering wheel and turning around in the backseat.
Oh, yeah. Driving. Then when he gets in one of them moods and you're in the ring and you have to work him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a goodie right there, buddy. Hey, it's like, boy, I look forward to this.
Exactly. Man.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South. And I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, the Scorpion, the Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at SteveBowtieBryant@iCloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, speaking of Tracy, on May 3rd, 1993 in Council, Virginia, I saw you and him work together, and I was close to that little town. That was where my parents were from originally. And, you know, this was, you know, early on. And I mean, I'd been to wrestling shows before this, but this was early on where you could, you know, kind of say things. And he was carrying that flag and you grabbed it and he turned around and called you a son of a bitch. Well, I know, right? Wasn't it? I just thought that was very impolite. Anyway, but I tell you, just a small amount. You know, there's two places I still believe in pro wrestling is Columbia, Tennessee and Council, Virginia, or in that area. And yeah. I tell you, you about had, there was probably 400 to 500, maybe even 600 to 700 people in that building. And I believe they all hated you so much. I guess my one question is how does that feel to be hated by an entire building? And then just maybe what about working those little towns and how did you enjoy those?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I'm getting honest to God right now. I'm getting goosebumps. You started talking about these little towns and how many people hated me and everything. Their booze and cussing me and all that. That was my cheers.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when the Rock and Roll Express come out, the house explodes, they cheer. I come out and it's a deaf and boo, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those are my cheers and I get all pumped up over that. And then plus you got to keep your head on swivel because there's always somebody that wants to try you or try to sucker punch you. And I've had knives pulled on me, guns pulled on me.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of stuff. I've had death threats from the Klan.
Mm.
When I burnt that flag,
the
night that me and Trace was in that chain match, and we were going to have it, Tracy come in there and was throwing up. I said, "Well, you sick? You eat something bad?" He said, "No, but my nerves." I said, "Why?" He said, "I just got through talking to the Klan." I said, "Be careful." I said they told me, "Tracy, if you don't take care of the white boy, so we're going to take care of him after the match."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like, "What the? Are you?" I said, "What?" I said, "You calm down. They ain't after you." And I said, "And on top of that, you're going to win tonight." He said, "Oh, brother, but you never know." I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "Just settle down. Let's have the match."
Yeah.
Because, see, there's a certain point in time during a match when you get the 1-2-3 and the baby face wins, he comes straight up, throws them arms straight in the air, the people explode.
Yeah.
You've got about 10 seconds to get your big butt up and get out of there.
Yeah.
So nobody will bother you going down that aisle or anything because they're too busy at that particular point in time cheering.
Yeah.
Because as soon as his hand hit that last turnbuckle, I had the strap, that chain, I already had it unbuckled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out, and I just rolled out, hit the floor, and went straight to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Straight in the back, picked up my bag, my wrestling bag, reached in, I had my pistol in there, pulled that pistol out, went, got in the car, and left. Never showered, never said kiss my ass or nothing, and left. But yeah, it's a great feeling to that you know that you're doing the what's right to make the people act like this. You've got them right there in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, yeah. That's Smoky awesome. Mountain, man, was awesome. I really enjoyed the times when we got to come up there and work with you guys. I want to ask you this. I've asked Tom this and a few people that were involved. So Smoky Mountain, you know, Ricky and Robert came to Memphis and Buddy and Tracy, and we did the whole, you know, Smoky Mountain invasion thing, which popped the Memphis territory. Do you think, and I really wish you would have got to come to Memphis more. I know you were kind of one of the ones that stayed in Knoxville more than you did the Memphis thing. Even if I don't remember, did you come to Memphis more than once during that time period?
Oh yeah. I was,
I couldn't remember, but I mean, I'm talking about in the Smoky Mountain angle.
Not, I don't remember. Well, see, I left the Memphis territory to go to Smoky Mountain.
Right.
Okay.
And I'd had a long run in there then.
Yeah. So it almost.
And then, yeah, and Jarrett, he said, "I think you're making a mistake. I don't think you ought to go. You need to stay here with us." And well, I was one of the top heels there, so of course he's going to say that.
Right.
But you know, money talks, and then plus. I'm from Knoxville.
Right.
So, you know, my whole career, I've been on the road all over the country and all over the world and everything. Who wouldn't want to come home and work?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I told him and everything. He said, well, there ain't nothing I can do about that. And I said, well, he said, I don't think it'll last. And I said, if it doesn't, I hope I'm leaving on good enough graces to where you'll hire me back. He said, that's not a problem. And I said, okay, mm-hmm. Shook hands. Okay. And then boom, that's when I left and came up here.
So do you think though, like I said, when Cornette had everybody come to Memphis and they did the invasion angle on us and it popped Memphis to keep us, basically kept us in business in around 96 or whatever. Do you think if we would have done it there, because we really didn't do the USWA come to Knoxville and we were the heels and beat the fuck out of y'all. Do you think it would have kept maybe Smoky Mountain in business a while if we would have done that?
Might have. Tell you the truth, I really don't know. What I believe is Jim Cornette is an excellent booker.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very smart man that when he's got his mind set on something,
mm-hmm.
it's going to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing real good in Smoky while he had his mind completely focused on that.
Yeah.
But then when he started venturing out, he went to WCW. When Watts was there, he went in and all that, was taking his boy over, his, you know, Tom and
Jimmy,
whatever. Yeah,
Jimmy.
Yeah, and taking them over there, he was pushing in because they had better TV and all that. Well, his mind wasn't totally on Smokey, so things started dropping.
Yeah,
and then as soon as he got pissed off over there and come back, he put his full train of thought and everything in on Smokey, and it jumped back up.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
And then when he wanted to go to WWF, and I don't blame him for that. Right. I hold no grudges or anything like that towards Jim. If I see him today, hey, buddy, shake his hand, give him a hug, the whole nine yards, because it's business.
Right.
You know, I might not like the business that you're doing, but, you know, it's business. And who didn't want to go to WWF?
True, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And that's, to me, that's what I think actually shut down.
Do you think he's just by focus, huh?
Yeah, because he was trying to work and do angles and book and all that in two different places.
Right.
And I don't care how good you are, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You've got to stay focused on one place and all that. And on top of that, he turned me babyface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, why would you turn one of your number one heels babyface?
Yeah, that never made sense to me, you know.
No, and I didn't agree with it. But, I mean, you know, it's the booker. He's the boss. What are you going to do?
Right.
It's either if you say, well, I ain't going to do that. Well, you're fired.
Right.
Either you do it or you're gone. Those are your choices. So, you know.
Yeah.
No, but Jim's got a good mind for wrestling, and he's got a gift for gab, that's for sure. And,
yeah.
But I honestly think that's what happened. Now, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell me the story of, if you were there, I've always heard this. When Ron and Don evidently got into it with the crowd, and there was like a football team, and I just remember hearing that Ron and Don went through the crowd romping and stomping every son of a bitch in their way. Were you there for that?
Harris, oh, not
that,
right.
That happened all the time.
Oh,
okay. I mean, with Ron and Don right there, it was
Harris, Ron and Don early. Harris, the Harris boys.
Oh, Harris, yeah, okay, yeah. I was there. Matter of fact, I was in the dressing room,
mm-hmm.
and all this happened. They was on the other side. Well, people started coming in the dressing room, and I was in there by myself. What the hell? So I'm looking around. I, you know, find me something. Get the hell out of here. And I run everybody out. And I'm like, thank God they bluffed easy. And then, oh, yeah, they was a fight down there. Oh, they was going on. Them Harris boys, they're about half crazy anyway.
Yeah.
And they were just pounding on people and all that. And
but that was a sight.
Oh, yeah, and then you have to wait an extra hour and a half, almost 2 hours to get out of the building.
Right.
Because you got a bunch of pissed off rednecks out there.
Oh. And, yes, sir.
You know.
So, okay. So, obviously, like I said, I've seen you wrestle all my life, and I've always appreciated you. So, you can clear me up on this. I think this was between you working TL and Cletus, okay? And this was around April of 97. I saw you wrestle, I believe it was a dark match for WCW Saturday night, and it was in Johnson City at Freedom Hall. And I'm not sure who you were working in. I apologize. And I actually could not find this. So if I'm wrong on this, please correct me. But there was a moment that you climbed to the top turnbuckle and actually fell off the turnbuckle. And everybody just started laughing and stuff. And I said, y'all shut up. That's the dirty white boy. Are you idiots? You know, I mean, I was kind of like coming to your behalf. And I know even if you meant to do it, it was a great spot because it got somewhat heat on it. But do you remember anything like that?
I've got pushed off, knocked off, tripped myself
off that
top rope so many times. It's hard to remember just one particular one.
I understand. And, yeah.
But I've gone up there and just actually, and a lot of guys have just misstepped going to, you know, and it's like, oh, this ain't going to be good. This ain't pretty.
But I took offense to their laughter at that. I was just really angry about this. And my buddy, I remember my buddy
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, I'd known you as this romping, stomping badass. And then, so anyway, my buddies and I, we had worked our way up we had gotten some seats on the floor, but we were way back and we got up to ringside. And I'm like your tag team partner, basically, just across the aisle there. I was trying to kill people because they were laughing. I was like, this is not cool. Y'all don't know who this is. He can whoop us all right now if he wanted to. But you played it off. And again, it almost I was talking to Wolfie about this and I was like, I don't even know if he actually meant to do it. He might have just meant to do it to make the, you know, something next work. But anyway, it was, I just always remember that because you're the dirty
fighter. Well, I'm sure I did mean to do it.
We'll say that.
Hope it wasn't one of them stupid mistakes that got me killed.
I'll never forget. They talk about athletes and wrestling and stuff like that, and I've actually like trained some guys that were football players, college football players, and that don't mean shit, man, because it's timing, it's footwork, it's stuff that they don't take into consideration. And I never forget Jeff Gaylord. You remember him? Mid-South Coliseum. What an athlete, what a great physique, this some bitch the top rope in Memphis and stands up, puts his arms up in the air, loses his balance and goes backwards to the floor.
Oh my God.
And it was not on purpose.
He done that just walking across the floor. I mean, bless his heart. He did. He was a big old guy, good looking guy, had a body from, boom. He had it all.
Yep.
And it's like, ain't nothing between them ears. Not nothing between them ears. I'm telling you. Bless his heart.
He just got, I think he just got out of jail for robbing the banks or whatever.
I knew that he was a thief.
Yeah.
Because I called him out in Evansville, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
I always put my ponytail up after the match or something like that, or come in the building, you know, I'd have my hair in a ponytail, what I had left of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it off, put it down, laid it on top of my bag. Well, when I come back after the match, I was going to get it because I was going to go sign some pictures and stuff. I looked for it, couldn't find it nowhere, looked up, he's got it. His hair's in a ponytail and got that. And I said, hey, man, I said, what's up? You just took, you come in my little dressing room here and took nothing. What are you talking about? I said, the hair bread that you just stole out of my dressing room.
Mm.
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and jerked it out and just throwed it down, so you can have that, and turned and walked off.
Oh, my like, God.
See, a man steals something like that, he'll take your billfold.
Oh, yeah.
If he'll steal something that small, he'll take something bigger. So,
yeah.
Evidently.
Yeah, he was weird. He was strange.
He was a weird bird. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was trying to figure out what planet he come from. But he had a wonderful body. I mean, he worked out hard and trained hard and all that, but he just didn't have the mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some bitch punched me so hard in the mouth one time, man, my jaw was like, I don't know if it dislocated or what, but I really couldn't close my jaw all the way, and it was crooked, and it hurt to eat for like a week. And this was just, that was his working punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Man.
Finish this. Very well about that.
Yeah. Finish this lyric for me, Tony. Wish that I was on old
Rocky Top, baby.
So, yes, you were the, and I see you wearing the tee and all the time, but you're actually one of the guys who can legitimately wear that color. And tell us a little bit about your time there.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, right now, I've got a big orange golf shirt on, and it's got Tennessee with the big white tee on it right now as we speak.
Yeah, yeah.
I am a Vol for life. I played under Johnny Majors at the University of Tennessee, and it was one of the greatest honors and one of the greatest times I've ever had. I was a freshman, and it was just absolutely, I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just hard to put it all into words. Like I said, I'm a Vol for life, and I went in as a freshman. I walked on, made the team, and that, you don't hear that a lot.
No, so I don't.
I'm proud of myself for that accomplishment, that I made the team. I mean, I come in, and when you first get there and everything, trying to get on the team and all this, they give you a white helmet with your name taped across the front of it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, all the big boys, they got big orange tees and all that. And you look at them like, you shut up, stupid helmet. And then one day I come in for practice, come walking in, and I looked in my locker, and I was like, I just dropped everything. My head went down, and Robert Shaw, he was a center. Starting center. He played for the Cowboys. He come up and he said, hey, buddy, he said, what are you looking down about, man? He said, what's wrong? I said, I ain't got no helmet. I just put my head back down. He said, what? I ain't got no helmet. And he said, they man can't play football without a helmet. I guess this is their way of saying, see you. He looked at me and he said, come on, let's go up to the cage and I'll walk you up there. And buddy, I mean, I was low as anybody could possibly get. I mean, my whole world was over with. Might as well take me out like an old horse with a broke leg and shoot me.
Yeah.
And I went up there and they said, this guy ain't got no helmet. And the guy looked at me and he looked back at Sean and kind of grinned. And I'm like, yeah, you think it's funny.
Right.
And he said, what's your name? I said, Anthony. He said, no, well, I don't know oh, wait a second, and reach down underneath and come up. And when you set that helmet up there, it had big orange stripes down the top of it, and two big orange T's on each side. Mm. And I like to piss all over myself. I mean, that's one of the most proudest day that I ever had in my entire life.
What position did you play?
Center.
I didn't know this about you. You're good, Jimmy.
I try.
I did not know this. That's awesome. And so what, did you just play your freshman year and then start wrestling?
Yeah. I played freshman year, and right at the end of it, a buddy of mine that I played high school football with, mm-hmm. He come up to the house, and he come bouncing in there. Hey, Dunn, look here. And he had a championship wrestling belt on.
Mm.
I looked at it and I said, where'd you buy that? He said, I won it. I said, what? He said, I won it. And I said, you won that wrestling. Yeah, I'm a professional wrestler, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, okay. And I thought, boy, and I was looking. I said, you know something? I said, I know I can whip you. So if I can whip you, then I can whip somebody else, and I can get me one of them things. How'd you get? Well, Rick Connors. That's how I got with Rick Connors.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I went and talked to him and all that and got hooked up with that. And that's when I made one of my dreams. I got to play football for the University of Tennessee Volunteers. Yeah. Yeah. And then my other dream come right behind it. And I got into wrestling. I quit college like a dummy. quit college and then started wrestling.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's pretty awesome. And I'm going to ask you a question here because I know we're running on time here. I hate it when people ask me this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What do you have a favorite match of yours? Like, what is your match where you go, that was probably the best I've ever done in the ring or whatever? I know that's a hard question. For me, it is anyway, because I got a bunch of different reasons.
The angle I did with Tom Pritchard. That was great. We
can I speak together. Can I speak to Tom? Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I would say that. But I've been in the ring with many different superstars,
right?
And had great matches with them. You know, I've wrestled Flair here in Knoxville for the world title. And that's when Flair and Blackjack had they owned the place.
Yeah.
Owned it and all that. And I got that. Of course, I got beat, figured forward and all that. But he made me look like $1 million.
Right.
And then, there's just been so... It's hard. I would have to say that, and with Pritchard, that angle we did, I'd have to say that's
so. So the angle kind of made the matches even better. I guess the next question.
Because they were brutal matches.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They were absolutely brutal matches.
Brutal works of art. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Me telling an ass whooping, let's say that.
Yeah.
Because it was, we laid everything in and I gimmicked up some beer bottles when I busted him in the head with it and they took him off in the ambulance.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that error and when we were doing that.
Who do you think the best worker you've been in the ring with? Who's somebody that you just went, man, that motherfucker's good after you left the ring, you know?
Beautiful Bobby. Beautiful Bobby Eaton. If he could have talked on the microphone, they'd have put the world belt on him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good that he was.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell Flair that, and they'll even tell you that.
Right.
Yeah, I'll say it. Flair says it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because he was, and just, it's just amazing. He looked like he took your head off and just barely touched. But now, if things gotten bad out there with fans and stuff, he could go.
Yeah.
He could go big time. He looked like a sleeper, but then the next thing you know, somebody woke that bear up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd take somebody's head off in a heartbeat.
And what an awesome human being he was, man. I talk about Bobby a lot because he was good with my kids. And things like that. He was a great person, man. Yeah. Jimmy, yeah. What else you got, man?
Yeah, I just, you know, love Bobby too. That's so great that you said that. He's amazing. So I just wanted to ask you real quick about, you know, working with Lawler. You know, a lot of our listeners are Memphis fans, obviously Wolfie PG-13 and stuff. And, you know, Lawler to them and to us is the GOAT, you know? I mean, talk about working Lawler. Do you have anything?
Working with Jerry was a night off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how smooth he is. He's one of the people that I was talking about. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
It was absolutely a pleasure to get to work with him. When you had that match, you knew, hey, I'm going to have a good match.
Yeah.
There ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. You know, you get two capable people here, and, you know, he's just, you know, he's the king. So it was easy, and it was great. Absolutely great.
Yeah.
Jerry.
What do you think about his punch?
His punch?
Yeah. How do you think?
Which one,
you
know, the shoot or the work?
No, he's working punches.
He's got a great punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, he's also got to have it. And I got him one time. When you throw a punch on him, he'll slap you in the ribs.
Yeah.
Slap them ribs. And I got it. We was in there one time. Yeah. And I was like, quit that. And he's just going on, kind of grinning and all that. And I got him in there. He's making that big come. That's a big punch. Boy, he grabbed back and comes that big. And I was coming up from the floor with it. And I caught him right in the left hand side of his ribs. Buddy, it sounded like a .38 went off.
Yes.
Wow. And he went, no. And he sold it. Yeah. I'm walking off the other way. And I was like, yeah. Now you know what we're all going through.
Yes, I hated that. Doug used to do that all the time. Doug Gilbert would do that. I hated it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
Bill Dundee. Quit that.
Bill Dundee. We were having a match.
Bill Dundee.
Bill brought a damn, and I didn't know it, okay? It was me and Bill, and I didn't know he brought it, but he had a rubber band that he brought to the ring with him, and he'd tell me to put him in a headlock. And when he'd get in the headlock, he'd pull that rubber band out and he'd pop it on my ribs right there in that same spot. And I was a heel, yeah. And I had to let go of him and sell it because it really hurt. But he just kept doing it. He was messing with me. I didn't know what it was at first. It was pretty funny. But yeah, that's such a sensitive spot. I hate it when people hit me in there.
I know.
But it looked good when Lawler did it, and the people never saw it. You see everybody now doing the thigh slap for every fucking punch, every fucking kick, every fucking everything. I can't stand it. But Lawler would do it in a way where, you know, it was you punching him, and he's getting the sound, and nobody ever caught on to that. I mean,
yeah, and it looked like he was trying to push you off of him.
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah. You never noticed it, or if you did, it looked like, you know, he was just trying to push to get away.
Yeah. That's genius. Yeah.
Really. Very remarkable man.
Yep, absolutely. Man, is there anything that you want to say to the fans or anything like that before we wrap it up?
Well, I'd just like to say to all the wrestling fans, I really appreciate the many, many years that they've booed me, cheered me, and everything. And if it wasn't for the wrestling fan, there would be no Dirty White Boy.
Yep.
So for that, I thank them very, very much. I love each and every one of them. And thank you all.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming on for us, man. I know I do. I know Jimmy does. And just, I want to say this, and if I've never said it before, I honestly respect the shit out of you. And I appreciate the work that we did together. The few times we got to be in the ring together, it was a pleasure and an honor to work with you. And I thank you.
Well, thank you. Words like that, I need to take you around with me. Introduce me. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just ask Wolfie how good I am.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't believe me? Here. Wolfie, get up here.
Come here, Wolfie. Tell him. Tell him how good I am.
Hey, and I'll cheer for you when you fall down, man. Come on.
Hey, I'm right there. You can't beat that.
He took up for you when his friends were laughing at you, man.
I just couldn't stand it. It burned me up, man. Could not stand it.
So, man, again, it's been a pleasure catching up with you, man. I hope everything's going well for you. And, man, maybe we can have you back again sometime for sure. I'll keep in contact with you and just say hi every once in a while. How's that?
There you go. Sounds good to me, buddy.
Well, when we come back after this break, Jimmy, are we doing Ask Wolfie Anything?
Yeah, we're going to have a little Ask Wolfie Anything, Dirty White Boy. You know, that could be some trouble.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt about that.
All right, folks, we'll be back. Thank you again, Tony Anthony, Dirty White Boy, Grappler, T.L. Hopper, whatever you want to call him. I just call him a good guy and a great worker.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
All right, y'all, we'll be back. Thank you, Tony.
That's great.
All right.
I appreciate you, man.
Hey, not a problem.
All right, dude.
Great talking to you guys. Appreciate you, fellas.
Take care. Thank you, buddy. Yes, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, and man, oh man, is Tony Anthony the Dirty White Boy cool?
Yeah, man. I told you that a long time ago.
I mean, you have, and we've talked about it before, and it's just never lined up. When we had Henry Godwin on, we were talking about it at that point, and he's just one of those guys that is one of those elusive dudes. He does not do a lot of interviews, and man, just a great guy.
He's just living life, man. He's just living life.
Happy living life there in Knoxville, you know, dodging potholes probably.
For sure.
Anybody that's driven through Knoxville knows there's a pothole or two around that town. So God love them. But yeah, proud Tennessee Vol. So, man.
Good research.
I try, brother. Thank you. That was a nice little nod you gave me there. I appreciate that. Well, so as usual, the listeners have always given us some great questions, and I've got three great ones today, so I'm stoked about hearing what your thoughts are on these. So our very first one, and I've heard you answer this somewhat, but you know, hey, Ben Martin's asking, so Ben Martin wants an answer. So Ben Martin from Facebook, the Intelligentsia, he asks, have you ever booked or have you been asked to book a show?
I was heavily involved with AWA, Acadian Wrestling Association. I was real heavy involved in everything in that. Chase had the final say so, and what's her name? The Bell Bonds lady.
Grumpy Bell Bonds.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, I had a lot. And that was one of the things, kind of me and Chase had a little falling out at the end of that, just over business, really. And
yeah.
Personal differences of opinion, but it was stupid. But anyway, yeah, I pretty much did that one. I had a little bit of say so on the talent, but more over just what direction we were going with everything. USWA, man, me, Jamie, Tommy, Doug, you know, whoever we were working with at that time, everybody had a little input.
Right, on
stuff. But as far as just outright booking a show, a lot of the independent stuff, they'll allow me to book my own stuff, or did, you know, when I was pretty active, you know, book my own angles and things like that. So a lot of the stuff you see when you see me is probably a lot of my concept, or at least I got to say so in it.
Right. I know that I remember one of the things that I always thought was entertaining, at least, was your sometimes frustration with the lack of listening to your ideas. But, some guys are just like, well, I've got you where I want you, and I definitely don't need to hear what you want to say, you know. Right. So we'll go with that. We won't name names, but long story short, I can imagine that that's sometimes frustrating. But so as officially that speaking, though, no one has ever said, Wolfie, you are the 100% booker.
Not in so many words, though, I guess.
I mean, would that be something you would like to do even maybe now?
I would do it, but there's probably no one locally that's going to pay me to do it.
Yeah, of course.
The budget, how they are. You know?
Right. They try to, you know, leave that to either the guys that are working their matches or even the guys that's promoting, and then they can save the money on a booker.
But never say never.
Never say never, yeah.
Came across me with a ring and said, hey, you know, help us out with this. I'd be willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be great. Somebody do that.
A while.
Yeah. Hey, I know one of our listeners has got to be a money mark, so y'all holler at Wolfie. We'll make it happen. But anyway, yeah, that's a good question, Ben. Thank you. Well, Ben's got one more that I'm just interested to hear about. So if you ever had any interaction or any funny stories about Ronnie P. Gossett?
If I ever met Ronnie P. Gossett, it was once or twice, very quickly. I do not. He was before my time, really.
Yeah.
I think he probably came to a show or something, you know, and I knew who he was, you know, hello. And it seems like I remember that, like maybe a verbal exchange with him, but I think I only met him once or twice with that.
Yeah, well, Ben included a story with this, and I'm wanting to read this off here. So he heard a story about this. Was he sold this woman Louisville. So I think that was the town, might be wrong. Rights of that particular city from Nick Gulas for an unknown sum of money. And of course, slips off before she can find out she's been conned. So apparently the woman finally found the phone number to the main office in Nashville and calls Gulas, raising hell while she hasn't seen any money on the town yet. Gulas asks who she bought it from, and she gives the fake name Gossett used. And Gulas tells her she better find a good Lawler because she's been conned and doesn't
own a Lawler. A Jerry Lawler?
She better find a good lawyer.
You did say Lawler.
I know, bro. I do that all the time. That's funny. She better find a good lawyer because she's been conned and doesn't own anything. Slams the phone down and yells, "That GD Gossett." Yeah. And it just...
I don't know. If I've heard that, I don't recall it, man. But, I mean, from what I understand, that's not a far-fetched. But that would be a Ask Randy Hales anything.
Sure.
No.
Yeah, sure. Well, on the phone, we got Randy Hales. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, yeah, that's interesting. We need to ask Randy about Ronnie anyway. That would be funny. So, yeah. That's a good one. Now, okay, this next one is from listener Freshie Johnson. Freshie's been throwing out some good stuff. Definitely a great supporter of the show, Freshie. Thank you for listening, as always. So this one's interesting because it's kind of timely as far as a lot of the woodwork you've been doing lately. So he says, thoughts on the movie Detroit Rock City?
It's been forever since I've seen it, man. My reaction is it was okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dug it, man. It was fun.
And I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen that, man, but I wasn't blown away by it. If I recall correctly, there wasn't a lot of actual Kiss in there, right?
No, it wasn't. It was more like the adventure to the Kiss, you know? So
I'd give anything if they would redo Kiss Meets the Phantom, whether it be in CGI form or, cool new, not Gene and them doing it, but live action with, you know, the characters, not necessarily the person.
Yeah, dude, if they got
the
like
characters, we could be really cool with the technology that is available today. And now with the writers and actors on strike would be the perfect opportunity to make this movie.
Really?
We need to call Torbor and the Kiss guy.
Yeah, you got to get Dale in the movie, get some guys in there. But yeah, think about the A-list actors that could be in that. That would be great, man. Playing Gene, playing Paul, playing Ace. That would be amazing. So, well, anyway, I liked the movie. It kind of reminded me, it was like, you know, it could have been like a sister movie to Dazed and Confused, kind of, you know, definitely had kind of, you could definitely see that it was trying a little bit for that vibe. But I did really enjoy the movie, obviously, being a Kiss fan that I am. But so also, what's your favorite Kiss songs? And then he asked, what's mine as well? So he loves Strutter and Made for Loving You. So what are yours, Wolfie?
I like Strutter, but I think God of Thunder and War Machine. I really like War Machine.
Oh, bro.
I think that was like a sleeper because it didn't get a lot of radio play, but I was like, yeah, that's a wrestling entrance, man, in the 80s right there. I think Bam Bam used that, didn't he?
Lord Humongous did too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Eric Carr on drums.
Rock City, I really love.
Detroit Rock City. Yeah.
Yeah. That opening riff, I love that. And because you can see them doing the, you know, the three-way head down, head up, head down, you know, thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All in unison.
Yeah. Okay. So here are mine, and you're going to rib me.
I wasn't finished, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
No finish. No finish.
I don't want to.
Okay. All right. So he asked, what's mine as well? So I love Strutter. I love Made for Loving You. Those are great songs. But mine are definitely War Machine. Dude, great song. Very Sabbath-y, but also So Kiss itself, you know, mm-hmm. just a great song. Eric Carr on drums, like I said. You know, Calling Dr. Love's one of my favorites. Yeah. It's just, I love the vibe and feel of the song. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorites of the, you know, just like classics is Cold Gin, man.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Love that song.
That's one of mine as well. As well as, and you might not love the, it's their, like, I hate Beth. Beth is the worst Kiss song to me.
Garbage.
Quite possibly. Because right. just cat, a dude painted up like a grown man with a cat face singing love songs is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it, I can't get into it.
I get it.
It's a good song, but I don't know. But, I still love you.
Yeah.
I love that one. I Still Love You off the Creatures of the Night album. And Creatures of the Night is good too.
It is.
Song.
It is.
Parasite, though, is one that's older and underrated.
Great riff. Great riff. Love that.
Ace.
Yeah. He's the man. He's the man. Yeah, I mean, I love Gene as a bass player, and y'all, Gene is a great bass player. I'll argue that with anybody, but when it comes down to it, Gene and Ace, I mean, I love those guys. Paul's the rock star, you know, but Ace is also the rock star. You know, I will often say, you know, that even though they are rated very highly, and I still think they're somewhat underrated by the music snobs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they don't get the props that they deserve. They were like OG stadium arena rock, you know? And anyway, man, but you're going to rib me for this one because everybody else does. Okay. But it means so much to me nostalgically, okay, is Forever, man.
It's Forever. Dude.
Yeah, that's kind of corny too.
slow dancing at my like seventh grade dance.
Like tears are falling too.
It's great, but I mean, dude, Forever to me is honestly super nostalgically really just means a lot to me. So randomly, if I'm in the grocery store and I hear it, I'll pop, you know, it's never like something I'm going to pick out and listen to and just sit there and like go back in time. But Forever has good memories for me. So,
hey, you know, and I just thought of this, you know, I said Beth and Peter Criss and all that and how I hated it. But then again, isn't it on Gene Simmons' solo? Doesn't he sing like When You Wish Upon a Star or something like
Yes,
that?
Yes.
Now that's pretty fucking bad too. The demon singing in When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah, I don't know what he was going for there. I personally think Ace's solo record was the best. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But
what were they thinking? That writing some of the songs and things. It's like they didn't do drugs except for Peter and Ace.
Right. Right. I don't know.
Gene Simmons is like, this is a great idea. I'm going to sing
When You Wish Upon,
a Star. will love it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh, bro. What about that movie he did with Tom Selleck? Do you remember that? What was that like?
Robot Spiders Runaway or something like that.
Yeah, dude. I thought that was pretty good, man. I thought he could have been
it wasn't bad.
He could have been a great villain, man.
Just had that short hair in it. Because that was that period when they went through that little phase where they dressed, they all cut their hair off and had the makeup, but looked really awkward.
Yeah, it did, man. Okay, well, let me ask you this, since you're talking about his hair. Is Gene bald? Does he wear a wig?
I don't have any idea. I would imagine he's kind of got that Donald Trump thing happening, but just not as floofy out. I mean, it's floofy. They're both floofy, but what I mean is, you know, Don's, his flies in the air and shit. Gene's he's put like a fucking Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah, it is like a Darth Vader helmet. I mean, he's still the coolest dude in the room, but when it comes to it, man, he's also a businessman, you know? I do see some similarities with him and Trump, actually, but, you know, both massive billionaires that, you know, have high opinions. But anyway, we'll leave that for another conversation. But I appreciate the question, Freshie, because, you know, and now I'm going to get ribbed forever for liking, or I'm going to get ribbed forever
for liking like, forever.
Oh, man.
Ever, amen.
Yeah, exactly. Pulling out a little Randy Travis there. All right. Anyway, all right. Well, that is all I got for the Ask Wolfie D Anything today, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, cool, man. Great show. Again, thanks for listening. And I wanna plug my artwork, man. That's how I'm trying to make some dollars at the moment. So anybody contact me on social media if you want any custom woodworking or drawings or paintings or whatever, hit me up.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible stuff. He's got it on some of it on eBay, but he will absolutely do commission work too. So yeah. Just look him up on Facebook or come through any of our podcast social media pages at Live Wolfie D. You DM us, I'll get you directly in touch with him if you're not talking to him already. So yeah. Anyway, for sure, take us out, brother. We're done.
All right. You guys, tune in next week. I got something in the works. This one pops off. It's going to be really, really good. It's always really good, but this would be really, really good if I make this happen. So tune in next week and find out who the guest is going to be.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at genejacksonpod.com.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
This is the big picture, Michael Jablonski. Don't forget to tune in every week to Jablonski's Pissed Off on the Mike Jablonski's Pissed Off YouTube channel.
The Fox Rob in the sport. He's gonna tell you all about it. He doesn't care what you think. You're gonna hear all about it. Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
Mike Jablonski.
It's the Pissed Off.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, WOLFE. I'm on Instagram at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Live Wolfie D. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there,
there. From the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for you, don't.
He got a cat for you, don't.
I got a cat for you, don't.
He got a cat for you, don't.
He got a cat for you, don't. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. From Russia, mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D. And I was P to the G. Plus the one and the three. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than over one or later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome. You got a cap for your dome. You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.